Hey y'all, it's Ray, the host of the Next Era podcast, where we chit and chat about what's going on in life while I drop personal gems from experience. So let's get into it.
Y'all, I did a poll on my Instagram and I asked what y'all wanted to hear next. And times I got played had the highest votes. Not y'all wanting to hear about my trauma, but I'm gonna tell y'all, think of this as a story time episode. It's so funny because I just had a friend listen to the previous episode, Novocaine, and she messaged me and she said, "Friend, you are a healer." And I thought that that was so funny because I never thought of myself as a healer, but I've had to heal myself so many times. I'm literally a pro. I'm on rinse and repeat now. And it wasn't an easy process, but once you learn how to heal, you can literally do anything because you won't be afraid of being hurt. Because if you get hurt, you know what to do. You're on rinse and repeat. Man, I remember growing up and me and my mom were watching E! News and we were talking about Halle Berry getting cheated on. And my specific words to my mom were, "How does she get cheated on if she's so pretty?" Y'all, I thought Halle Berry was so pretty growing up. I just knew I looked like her. But in that moment when my mom told me that looks had nothing to do with anything, I should have known I was in for a wild ride. I know some parents may not know to teach this, but when I have kids, I want to teach them the real signs and indicators about healthy love and relationships. I feel like parents be so busy telling their kids not to date and telling them that they can't have boyfriends and girlfriends that they don't even educate them on what a healthy relationship, communication, commitment, and love looks like. I was 14 with a boyfriend, didn't even know how to have a boyfriend. Please. I was doomed from the start. Shoot, my kids gonna go into their first relationship like, what are your values? These are my boundaries. So by the time they get grown, they're gonna be a well-oiled machine. Probably like many of you, I feel like I had a learning curve. I didn't learn these things until well into my adulthood. So I didn't stand a chance, if you think about it. I wonder if palm-colored people or people of other races teach their kids these things earlier on. And if so, when do they start teaching their kids how to navigate and sustain romantic, healthy relationships? Tap in on my IG post for this episode and tell me if you learned these things prior to having your first boyfriend or girlfriend. So we're going to talk about two times I got played, the ones that stand out to me the most, the very first time and then a more recent time. All right, so let's start from the top with my first love. And I'm doing air quotations because I was not in love. I didn't know anything about love. Why did I think I loved him at 14 years old? Because he texts back consistently and because I thought he was cute? Like, it really held no substance. Okay, so let's start from where I grew up. It was really not that many options for Black boys, and it was never giving anything else for me. So I feel like when I first met him, the initial excitement was that he was tall. I'm 5'11". I can't remember his exact height, but it's over 6'6", and he played basketball. Once again, doomed. The attraction held no substance if you think about it for real. So moving forward, it's 2008, by the way. He was a year older than me, and he was going off to college to play basketball. Red flag, okay? And I was going to be staying in Florida because I had one more year of school. So we would talk about him going off to college and what it would be like. I was the one saying that we would end up not together because things were going to change, and he was the one that insisted that things would be fine. Things changed quick, you hear me? The communication became inconsistent, and I remember I logged on to Facebook one day, and I seen a picture of him with a white girl. I said, "Oh, that'll do it. You do not have to worry about me." And ironically, I was at a basketball game at that time. So I took a picture with a boy and I posted it back on Facebook. Because who are you about to play with? That was low-key savage of me because there was no conversation or anything. I was a firecracker back in the day, honey. So I don't even think we had an official breakup. I don't recall being too hurt because I feel like I was realistic with myself about what would happen when he left to college. But hold on, the story continues. So moving forward, I eventually went to college in North Carolina. We texted here and there after like not speaking for 1 or 2 years. And I was just minding my business, living my best life. I didn't know what he had going on, didn't ask. And I think I went to like 2 or 3 basketball games towards my senior year or something, or my junior year, if the games were close to me. And then he came to my school once or twice, and I visited his school towards the end of my time in college, and we started back talking again. Okay, so pause right there. Y'all remember during that time on Snapchat when it showed who your favorites were? Like, the person you snapped the most, it would show that? So he always had this account called Peanuts Are Cute that snapped him the most. And I used to be wondering, like, how her name up there and my name not up there, and we snap all the time. Like, how much more could y'all be snapping? But anyways, her name was Jasmine. She went to his school. She was on a dance team. Child, my memory is A1. But obviously, I mentioned it to him because one thing about me, I'm always bring it up because what's tea? He would lie and say whatever he would say, probably something like, oh, it's a fan who snaps me a lot, but I never snap her back. Whatever. Burning red flag. But young me knew it was a red flag, but I don't think I really cared. But I also didn't have a dating timeline at the time or dating goals or anything that I was trying to achieve. I didn't even know I needed these things. But really, I had no end goal in sight, or I didn't even know my future goals. I feel like they were still developing at that time. So once again, dating uneducatedly and dating to date. So basically, I found this girl's Instagram to get an idea of who she was, what she looked like, whatever. She ended up finding my IG too. So we were sister wives at this point. Mind you, again, he was a year ahead of me. So he was pretty much done finishing up classes and trying out for various NBA teams. This is 2015, by the way. So we started talking again and we agreed to see like what things would be like. Since we were older, we were done with school. So I was traveling to see him. And during this time specifically, we were in Vegas during summer league and he had a tryout in LA. I had just graduated college and I flew out there one way. So he was going to LA for a day trip to try out and he was coming right back. We only had one phone charger. Don't ask me why, but this is where it goes downhill. So technically, my battery should have lasted until he got back. But if it didn't, he was like, oh, just use my laptop to talk to me on iMessage. Mind you, at this time, I didn't have a MacBook. I didn't even really know how to use it. But I was just like, heard you. That's the plan. Even in this moment, I did not put two and two together that I would be able to see all his messages. So my phone starts dying and I open up the MacBook because I just want to make sure I know how to use it. I can message my mom, whatever. Y'all, why I see all his messages from Peanuts Are Cute, the girl from Snapchat. Y'all, all of them. She was inviting him to her dance recital. She was riding the bus to see him in the rain, sleet, and snow. I said, please. It was never giving public transportation to see a man, not even in college. So sis, you won. So I started packing up my stuff then and there because who? I wanted to make sure I could be out of there before he got back. I wrote a letter and I left it on the table and I dipped. Because your girl always had motion. Boop. Up and left, ciao, and never seen him again. I was so upset, I accidentally booked a flight from LA instead of Vegas. I mixed up LAX and LAS. Well, I get to the airport to go through TSA and they told me that I couldn't because I didn't have the right ticket. I was crushed. I just cried in the airport and waited. So in this moment, I was hurt for sure because why would you lie? And in my head, we were starting off on a fresh foot now that we were older. I really thought there was a chance. I was bamboozled. It was my first love, air quotations again, that carried on into my adult life. I felt like I thought that I would have been given a different level of respect than them other girls. And I didn't see him as a liar either. But my mom says she did, though. She says that she felt like he was never forthcoming. Anyways, I was the most hurt during this heartbreak, not because it was the most meaningful, but because I didn't know how to heal. This was my introduction to learning to heal from romantic trauma. I cried 40 days and 40 nights, y'all, living back home with my mom in North Carolina. I literally dropped to 128 pounds. For reference, I'm 155 now. I remember laying in my dark room for days. Days would just be passing by. And when I look back a couple years later, I was so mad that I wasted that time like that. But anyways, this happened around the summer of 2015, and I got my job in New York in November of 2015. So I moved, and it was just up from there. So I got a bunch of times that I got played, and I could share them with y'all. But for the sake of this episode being too long, I'm going to just give y'all two times I got played. And if y'all like it, I'll do a part two. And the reason why I'm so comfortable talking about this is because I feel like whether people talk about it or not, it happens. It happens. It happens to everybody, including my girl Beyonce. Okay, so I'm going to tell this story because it's a little bit more recent. This man I'm about to tell y'all about was actually trying to get back in good graces right before me and my man currently met. And then once I met my man, he didn't stand a chance. So let's call this man Ballhead. My memory is actually a little bit blurry with this one, though, even though it's more recent. So that's weird. But we're going to blame COVID. All right. So Ballhead, he was recommended to me by his line brother. I really feel like the line brother wanted to talk to me, but he was too short. But anyways, he gave me Ballhead's Instagram. We exchanged messages for a while, but it never made it out of DMs until over maybe 2 years later. He lived in D.C. I lived in New York. So after a while of FaceTiming and whatever and talking, I ended up going to D.C. to see him. And we kicked it off. It was a vibe. I continued to go to D.C. to see him. And so I'm going to stop myself right there. I don't know if I ever asked him what he was looking for or a timeline or anything like that. If I did, I don't remember. I think his response may have been something like, he wanted to focus on residency once again. I just went with the flow because I didn't even have a timeline myself. No strategy, no desired outcome, just vibes. A few months passed. We started booking trips. We had the getaway house planned. We had Thailand planned at this point. Everything was going good. He made it known that during the next part of his residency, he didn't want to do long distance. Remember this. This is important. So we talked about me moving wherever the program was he got in. But as we were counting down to match day, the closer and closer we got to finishing the program, he was getting more and more depressed. And he was missing classes and stuff and missing work and stuff. So I tried to help him find a therapist, help him get on some meds so he could finish. It was literally like 60 days to the finish line. So I forgot what happened, but we got into a little spat and we call ourselves Stop Talking. Mind you, this has happened before. But at this point, if he called me, I still answer. If I call him, he still answers. It had been maybe a week. So we had a trip planned to the getaway house that we canceled, air quotes. But mind you, our Thailand trip was still booked. So I'm like, okay, we aren't done. So I call him one night and he didn't answer. And something in my spirit says something ain't right, okay? So we don't follow each other at this time, but y'all know we got our way. So I check his story. I see a bonfire. So I instantly think getaway house. So I'm like, oh, I know he's not there by himself. So I scroll through his friends list. I click random girls pages, random, not even in order. So by the time, like maybe I click the third page, I find a girl who literally posted the same bonfire. I saw she was a realtor. You know, their numbers be online. So I found her number and I called and I said, hello, can I speak to Ballhead? I had nothing to say to the girl. The beef was not with the girl. The beef was with him. So at this point, I felt like there was no way he could get away with this. You know, some people, they get done wrong. They keep it moving. I said, I don't know. He going to face me. So anyways, he ended up leaving out of the cabin and just had all the apologetic words to say, confirmed that he recently met her and they kicked it off, which I didn't believe originally until I met my man now and I saw how we kicked it off instantly and whoever was on his roster was kicked to the curb expeditiously. That let me know that could have happened with Ballhead and Realtor Bay. But here's the kicker. Moving forward to me living in Houston, y'all, why he tried to spin the block? After him and this girl dated long distance, remember what he said he didn't want to do? He tried to spin the block. I was in disbelief that he was in my inbox. I could not believe my eyeballs. So obviously I wanted answers because excuse me? Why his answer was he felt like he wasn't in a financial situation to be my partner. He felt he couldn't be what I was looking for financially. Remember, because he was in med school and residency. So these were his words, y'all. So of course, the question that arises was Realtor Bay paying for everything? Because if so, he's right. It was never giving that for me. But one thing that was weird is that finances never came up for us. He did know how much money I made. I don't know if that was intimidating for him or what. And he did say he read my tweets and stuff. Mind you, we never followed each other on Twitter. And he felt he couldn't provide that. And now that he was done with residency, he felt like he could. And I knew them checks was going to be hitting. I knew them new checks was going to be hitting. But I could never bring myself to see him or hang out with him despite his offers. Although the hurt had passed, I was just in such disbelief that he thought that I would let him back in after I watched him live a whole life with this girl that he essentially picked over me. the same trips we were going to take, the long distance you didn't want to do, seeing them on match day that we counted down to, that I tried to help you get to, I just couldn't. Like, even if he was outside of my window with a boombox, that would not have done it for me. Please. But every time I got hurt, I prayed and I asked God to not dim my light and to not make these experiences harden me, because I knew my light made me special. While this episode was entertaining, take from this to have your own timeline and goals and boundaries, so you can't just be strung along.
Anyways, that's it for now. Make sure y'all check out the show notes. Screen record, screenshot, do whatever you gotta do to tell a friend to tell a friend about the Next Era podcast. And make sure you guys follow my podcast so you can see when I drop a new episode every Wednesday. Ciao. Talk soon.